Welcome to episode 223 of The Numbers Game. I'm here with Nick and Marty. My name's Jace, and the best looking man on the podcast is taking it away today. Nick, what have you got for us?
I was about to wait for you to cross to Marty. I was like, I thought it was Carter. Anyway,
I was worried he was going to cut in actually when I said that.
Well, yeah, speaking of the best looking man on the podcast, Jace. I've got two questions for you.
Okay, go.
How much do you need to retire? As in, how much does Jason and Casey need to retire?
With Casey's spending habits, a lot. Yeah, heaps. You want a real number though?
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon by the time that rolls around, at least $2.5 million.
Okay. You don't have to answer this, but okay. If I was to ask you what your net worth was, would you be able to rattle it off your tongue?
Oh.
You don't have to answer it, but do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Marty?
Yeah, I know it. Needs to be more.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks everyone for joining us on The Numbers Game. No. No. Look, the reason I asked that question is because we obviously are financial planners, and the question that we often get is, how much do I need to retire? And I think that's a question on everyone's lips, particularly given cost of living today continues to go up. People are very unsure about what retirement looks like. When can I retire? If I retire, what can I do in retirement? Can I go to Europe once a year, or, you know, am I caravanning around Australia? So I wanted to bring this topic up to encourage people to get educated or become aware of what they actually do need to retire at any age, whether you're 50 years old, whether you're 30 years old, 20 years old. It actually doesn't matter. The earlier that you can understand that and then look at where you're up to as far as your net worth goes and are you on track to achieve that, the better it is, because then you can make small changes over the long time, over the long term, or instead of, you know, getting to age 59 and needing to make significant changes. So the first thing that we need to understand is, number one, where do we want to retire? When do we want to retire? And the second thing we need to understand or ask ourselves is, what do we want to do in retirement? So Marty, I'll pass to you, only because you're probably the only one that's about to retire in this group, or closest to.
I'm not saying anything.
It's like I'm 98 years old.
There was an opportunity. I had to take it. What does retirement look like for you?
For me, it's actually still being engaged in something I want to do. And it's like you said, Nick, it's knowing your number, but also entertaining ideas how to get there in unique ways as well. But for me, I don't see myself as someone that's not going to do anything up until I'm 100. So I go, I'll always do something, whether it needs to be that I'm earning money doing it or not, is probably, knowing me, it will be, because I enjoy that side of it too. I like the scorecard of it. But that's what it means to me. For me, it's just having time for kids, time for grandkids, and travel, and just enjoying myself, basically, and knowing the income that I need to do that.
Yep, and that's the key. And look, you're probably a unique situation in the fact that, you know, you want to continue to work and you'll have other interests. Some people just want to go fishing. But the first thing that you need to understand is, even though life will change, but what does retirement look like for me? Am I a camper? Am I someone that likes to travel? If I do travel, what kind of allowance do I need? At the moment, we're spending this much on food. I think if we get rid of the kids, we could probably spend this much less, and then you can index that out to work out what that would be. So it's pretty easy to understand based on what you know now. Obviously, things will change, but all you can do is look at, what do I know now about myself and what do I think I'd be doing in retirement? It's pretty easy to quickly work out how much you think you will need from a cash flow point of view on a weekly basis. And then you can easily work out what that would look like in the future, adding in indexation or CPI. So that's the first thing. Second thing you need to understand is, well, ideally, when do I retire? Am I in business? Am I going to, you know, probably work to 70, 75 maybe, depending if I'm in a service-based business or if I'm in a labor-based business? Or not 65 is, you know, when I think I'll retire. I've got, you know, 20 years left and that's it. And then you can quickly work out how much you need. So to give you a really basic example, If you are someone as a couple who thinks that they need $150,000 in retirement to live the life they want to live, doesn't sound like a lot of money to some people. To some people, it will sound like a lot, but it is actually quite a lot of money because we're talking net outside of tax. A lot of most times tax is ignored or there is no tax when you retire. So you're really looking at $3,000 a week, pretty substantial. So, okay, I want $150,000 a year. That way I know, yep, I'll have options, I can travel, I can do what I want. I also have got two kids and, you know, by the time I retire and possibly leave this earth, they'll be having their own children. So I want to be able to leave them a nest egg. So I don't want to be eating into whatever superannuation or investment I've got. I don't want to be eating into that capital value because I don't want to leave this earth with zero. I want to leave this earth with a lump sum because I know life's going to be harder for my children and my grandchildren. So you can then look at, okay, what should an investment earn that's reasonably conservative and safe? And the answer to that is around 5%. That's real conservative. I think you could earn a lot more than that, but you'd say 5%. So if I want $150,000 a year, I don't want to eat into the capital balance. I need to have around $3 million invested outside of a house because I'm living in the house, whatever that looks like. But if I've got $3 million invested somewhere reasonably conservative at 5%, it's going to provide me an income of $150,000 a year. Pretty simple, simple maths. Mm-hmm. If you didn't need to leave a nest egg to your kids or if you had a house worth a lot of money, I'm just giving you some examples that you could leave and you are happy to eat into that capital. So not only are you taking the income from the return, but you're also letting that capital diminish. That number would change significantly and it might be, you know, closer to 2 million. I'm just making up numbers here. So what I'm saying is it's very easy to work out what that needs to be. You with me, Jase?
Yep, following.
When you're looking at your net wealth or when you're looking at what you are worth, you are considering what's my total assets, investable. Let's ignore the house for now. And what's my total liabilities? And if I work that out today and I work out my net worth is $1.5 million and I'm 49 years old and I want to retire by age 65, I have got, in this case, 16 years left to get another $1.5 million in net assets. How am I actually going to do that and build a plan around that? This is something I do every year. To be transparent, I don't look at the retirement date because I'm a bit like you, Marty. I don't think I'll ever stop working to some degree. But I actually look at my net wealth every single year. And there's a few reasons I do that. Number one, it's purely just to make sure I'm on the right track and I'm doing the right things. It gives me clarity. So, you know, what am I actually trying to achieve? Do I have a goal in my net worth? If I do have a goal, how am I tracking towards that goal? It helps me manage my debts and makes me or forces me look at, okay, if I've got investment debt, what interest rates am I paying? Maybe I should look at that. Is the cash flow right? Is it letting me go and do other things? And then it also allows me then to bring in a third party, so a financial planner hypothetically or an accountant to help. So if I'm at $1.5 million in net worth and I need to get to $3 million in 16 years, how am I going to do that? What do I need to be investing in the next 16 years? What return do I need? How much less do I need to be saving? How much more do I need to be earning? And then you can look at that every single year. So, you know, you could easily set a 16-year goal and have spread out the yearly goals that you needed to tick off. So if you want to get to that 3 mil net worth, then by, you know, 2027, your net worth needs to be 1.7. So you can go, 2027, did I get there? No, I didn't. What changes do I need to make? So it's a really cool tool, a really simple tool to use. And it just, what I can say personally is it motivates me. Like when I look at that position every year, it just reminds me that, you know, working hard and doing what I'm doing is for a reason. And I think, and I'm referring to business owners now, I think a lot of the times with business owners in particular, you feel like you're on the hamster wheel. You're trying to grow your business. You might not be earning more money personally. You feel like it's all going back into the business. You got more costs. So I'd encourage you to sit down every 12 months and look at, okay, what's my net wealth or my net worth? Have I actually gone ahead? Because I don't feel like I have personally, because the money comes in and the money goes out. Really cool tool. And again, if you make these plans and you can work on them over the long term, it's far easier than getting close to retirement and having to make significant inroads in a short period.
I love that, Nick. I love it. It's straight away, I do that too. We do that in the household. Every year we review where we're at, where we want to be. And, I have a heightened number in my head that I want to reach, because I feel like my money will be worth less in 15 years' time, right? So, but what the goal does is it makes you think outside the square. And this is the thing you got to start thinking about. Like, can I get there in my job or in my business? Do I need to be involved in other projects? How am I going to go about that? Because it might not just be, and it can be, it can be that you work somewhere for 30 years and that's what it is, and you map it out. There's absolute ability to do well doing that. But I think in this day and age, with things moving so fast, you've got to think about other ways to get to that position of that goal at a certain time frame, and be a little bit innovative around it. It might just not be the one income stream that's going to get you there. Maybe you need an investment property. Maybe you need to subdivide it. Maybe you need a side business. Maybe you need where you're getting, lumps of cash somewhere in order to get to your goal ultimately. But I think the goal makes you think about it, and you're not dormant in just drowning when maybe things are moving faster and you don't even realize that, and you're actually falling behind even though you might be thinking you're getting ahead. So I think it's very, very good advice, Jace.
It's great, because as you're talking, Nick, I'm going, oh, I'm getting clients pop into my mind, and, mutual person that we know is one of them. And this particular client has tracked their wealth tracker like every year religiously since their like 20s and 30s. They're now in their 50s. And, it was the age old thing of, it didn't look like the needle was moving much between 20 and 30. Then the needle didn't look like it moved that much between 30 and 40. But again, it was the plan. It was knowing how much to put where and focusing on investments and stacking the asset column and having the right job and getting yourself into the right position. All of a sudden, the asset tracker between 40 and 50 just exponentially skyrocketed. There were certain things this particular individual did in his career to get himself into that position. But it wasn't an accident, because it was tracked religiously every year, marrying back to financial clarity. What goals had I set? Am I tracking my progress? This person used a lot of debt, bought property, had debt against it, was highly leveraged and taking the risk, but it was all part of the financial plan. So, when you put all that together, as Nick was talking through how to go about it and why it's important, I then thought of several clients that have done it and pulled it off. I think of the ones that now I've had these conversations with, where they might be in their mid to late 40s, going, oh, I should start thinking about retirement now, or should start putting a plan together. They never had the plan, never stacked the asset column, never looked at it. Not saying it's too late, but all of a sudden, it's a much more challenging target to start from mid-40s or mid-50s and go, well, actually, how much do I need to retire? Where is that money going to come from? What have I got in super today? If you are at that stage and you're thinking, well, shit, is it too late for me? Time is to start now. Like, book, inovayt.com.au, call Innovate, talk to Nick and Marty. They'll get you in with the right people. Start now. But also, if you are in your 20s or 30s and you've checked us out on YouTube and here you are now, this may seem silly or boring or not great, but it's great financial habits to start now to set you up for an incredible future where you will end up with the right amount of money. And you think of like the Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich, the lessons from that book, right? Like, if you can actually have that burning desire or plant the seed, your subconscious mind helps you work towards it. You'll make better decisions, because at the end of the year, when you're reconciling your numbers, you got to punch in what you've done that year. You got to be accountable to yourself and your numbers. And I know I've had some good years and some bad years, and I do mine on zero as an accounting nerd, but I reconcile the P&L, every dollar in that Casey and I earn, every dollar out that we spend. And then the balance sheet has, share portfolio. I do an estimate of business valuation, and then any liabilities that we've got, on money that's gone on something silly like a horse at one stage. But I have, because I track that, I actually have to write that horse off once it was gone, and I have to book that loss. So I think it's a fantastic lesson in actually putting it out there so you can see it and look at your numbers. If you're turning a blind eye to it and not looking at it, you don't have the plan, and you can't just rely on accidentally bluffing your way there and getting there. And, you know, I'm always get great feedback from clients that do end up sitting with, you know, your team, Nick, and they're like, oh, wow, I actually now know what I have to do to get to the retirement goals. So, Nick, I'd love to understand from, you know, throwing it back to you, what are the things people can do short-term and long-term to make sure they're on track if they do feel like they're a bit behind in the balance?
Well, the best thing is it's not rocket science. It's, in most cases, it's spending a little bit less and putting a little bit more away. It's as simple as that. Now, what vehicle you use to do that, whether it's superannuation, but again, it's understanding is superannuation the best vehicle, or is it an ETF or a share portfolio out of superannuation? Is it investment property? Whatever it might be. But the absolute first thing that you must do, and this is where we get the biggest wins, is set a budget. And when I talk about budget, I'm not talking about spending saving every dollar you've got. I'm talking about what you were just talking about, understanding the inflows and the outflows of your budget and understanding what must be spent, understanding what you choose to spend, and understanding then what is left to save. That is, you're 90% of the way there if you can do that, because that creates the habit to then start to put money into saving. From there, it's understanding what's the best vehicle. And in most cases, I would argue it is superannuation, because the reality is we're going to get it when we're 60 for most people. The other reality is it's tax-free at the moment. And if you're putting money away long-term for retirement, you might as well do it in the most tax-effective vehicle, which is superannuation. So it's really not difficult. And, you know, I do harp on this, but people fall over in surprise when they realize how easy it is when they tackle this in their 30s and 40s. There's not a significant amount of changes that need to be made in most cases outside of spending habits and then doing something right with that money. You don't need to take on risky investments. You don't need to, you know, buy and improve property and jump into a field that you're not confident with. It is really, really simple. And the thing that I wanted to add, but there's two real positives that come out of this that people generally don't think about. They think about the main positive as being, oh, I'm going to be able to retire early, and you know, I've got a good view or a good understanding of what that looks like. The two positives that are almost unquantifiable is, number one, you ignore what's happening around you. So when you're on your own journey and you know that you've got a financial goal that you're trying to achieve, you don't care about what other people are doing. You don't care about, you know, Jace just bought a new Beamer, I need one of those. Well, no, I'm not going to buy one of those because I understand the impact it's going to have on my journey. So you stop looking at what others are doing and you focus more on what you are doing, because you know that the outcome that you're going to achieve from doing what you've got to do for your plan, not what other people are doing. And the second positive, which I think is the biggest, is it creates financial well-being. And the definition of financial well-being summarized means that you are confident that you have enough money coming in to meet your outgoings on a monthly basis, and that you're resilient on being able to continue to do that in the future. Now, if you look at the studies around financial well-being and a lack of financial well-being and the side effects, ill health, not productive at work, relationship breakdowns, all this stuff. And, you know, I often do financial well-being presentations. I did one just the other week and it went down really well. And the thing that I talk about most is I think a lot of financial stress is caused through lack of education. I think a lot of people actually have the means, as in income, to not be stressed. They're just not educated on, number one, where they're heading, or number two, what they need to do to get there.
100%, Nick. I think people should listen to that 5 minutes time and time again and take notes. I think you either manage your money or your money manages you. And it's a dangerous game. And I feel like I've lived those two worlds because I didn't come with that background of financial education in the early days. And like you say, you you burn money because it's there, because you're not thinking about the future or how to invest it successfully. And, you know, I know myself, I had to educate myself around it and go, all right, well, what is the plan for my life to be good now and into the future? Like, I don't have debts on cars or anything. And I know some people need debt, good debt, in order to get ahead, and that's a part of the plan. But it's like, I'm so disciplined, I won't do anything unless I make it now. Because I go, I know the propensity to do what you were talking about in the early days of going, it's there, you burn it on something stupid. Like I said, you try and keep up with the Joneses. Joneses don't give a stuff about your future. You know, it's your life, and financial well-being starts from today. It's not about financial well-being just at the back end of life. It's about today. And everyone needs a good coach. And I think get a financial coach, which is a financial planner. Get a business coach with a financial advisory, you know. It's a future advisory. You go in there, you learn about your business. And I think in this day and age, you can have a great business that's an asset, an investment. You can have a great house, no capital gains on that, and you got super. I mean, there's ways that you can do it, but you got to know your game plan. You've got to be financially literate, and if you're not, get people around you that are and build out that plan. You will feel so good about where you're at now moving into the future, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and look, sometimes money is tight in the household, and a lot of the times that's okay. It's because of where you're at in life, you know, and you could be educating kids. So, you know, money's probably as tight as it's ever going to be. But if you know what the plan is, and if you know when those costs are going to stop, and you know what your cash flow looks like when those costs stop, and then how that's then going to contribute to your long-term financial well-being, it just reduces the stress. So even having that plan, even though the situation might not change, the fact that you've got the plan and you understand where you are on the journey and you know that the upside is coming at a later date, release the stress. Instead of people thinking, I've got no money because I've got, you know, two sets of school fees, and well, that's okay because that's where you're at the moment. But this is based on the plan, that's all going to change in your 50s, and then we're going to build for this. And so just having that clarity and that plan, even though the situation or circumstances in a lot of cases doesn't change, the plan is what relieves people of stress.
And your decisions change. It's all methodology. Like if you go, you've got that plan there and there's a purchase coming up, and it might be a discretionary purchase, you go, does that fit with my plan? You might want it. And if that plan's not there, you go and buy it and then you burn it. And I'm looking at all the hard rubbish out on the nature strips at the moment. I'm going, mate, people spend a fortune on these nature strips, on stuff out here that they didn't really need and want. And I just think how much wasted money is sitting there on the nature strip at the moment. And I go, and that's the sort of thing. Have the methodology, have the plan, then you can make great decisions in real time, not only for now, yes, the future as well, but you're making decisions day to day that matter. And that is, if I can back Nick on this, because I used to do that late 20s, yeah, it could have been a lot different story early for me if I had a methodology around it. But I had to mature, I had to get the hits and learn from the hits, and then come up with the advice and the guidance. And now, you know, I'm very succinct in how I manage things because I know what the other side of that fence is. And if you're teetering on that fence, don't get splinters. Get advice, you know, and get the right people around you and support you through that. It's well worth it.
Nick, apart from a spreadsheet, I think you're probably a spreadsheet manager. Is there any apps you recommend or budget tools, or is it just start with the basics, go simple spreadsheet?
I use a spreadsheet. I like that because I find you can manipulate it in your own way. There's a tool that I often recommend called Deniro, which is a budgeting tool, but you can put in there your super, your house, your investments, and it'll give you a net wealth figure. But for me, it's a spreadsheet all the way. You can build a nice little graph in there if you want, if you're that way inclined. That's what I find is the best tool. And it doesn't have to be War and Peace, right? Like for a lot of people, it might be three columns. For some people, it might be 15 columns. You can go as deep as you like. But as long as you're looking at every 12 months and making sure you're on track and, you know, you're sticking to some kind of plan.
Nick, can I ask you in regards to, you can take it to an extreme too, like we've talked about jokingly about the fire movement where you eat beans for 10 years and then you get to eat beans for the next 30 years but not have to work, right? So that, you know, that's the extreme the other way, which, you know, does work for some because it's a methodology and it's what people do and they come out of it okay. But where is the balance in it too? Like you go, like how strict do you need to be? Because people are emotional. And it's like, how do you think about it when you've got your criterias and you want something? Do you have to get to a certain point in life where you go, now's my time to pull the trigger on that because it's met certain methodologies? Will you take risk outside of the methodology? How do you personally think about it?
Well, there's no right or wrong answer. Everyone has different values, right? So, you know, you mentioned the car and not having a car loan. Now, I know some people that will say, well, I'd rather work another 5 years and have nice cars on the journey.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy cars and I really like them. There's actually nothing wrong with whatever journey you choose to take or whatever your retirement needs to look like, whether you're someone who travels overseas or not in retirement. It's personal and specific to you. It's just understanding what that is. So if you're someone that likes nice cars, then that needs to be in your cash flow. And that means that number's going to change. And that might mean you need to work more. And generally the people that have the nice cars and the debt repayments earn more in most cases. And they choose to spend their money in that way. Now, that's fine. But do they understand the impact that that's actually having? If their goal is to drive a Ferrari but retire in the next 5 years, maybe that doesn't line up. So firstly, it's understanding, are your current habits lining up with what the goal is? And if they're not, do you need to change them? And if they do need to be changed, to what degree do they need to be changed? So for me, Marty, yeah, I look at, okay, well, if that's where I'm heading, this is a lifestyle I choose to live. If that's a lifestyle I choose to live, if I want to, you know, wear a nice suit, if I want to drive a decent car, that means for me I need to either get my income to that level or I need to cut back on the car and have it if I want to get to there quicker. So it's what do you choose? Like, what's your value?
Yeah, I think that's an important point, Nick, because, again, what you said there that I thought was really good is going, some people love cars. So you're not doing it at the extremes where you're going, oh, I want a car because that bloke's got a car. Yeah, right, it's not a comparison thing with someone else. It's something you love doing and you're willing to create opportunity to have those things. And I think that's right. An important comment. Mm.
There's so many arguments, you know. I don't care if I'm on the, you know, planet for another 10 years. I want to live those 10 years in a certain way. There's the fire movement you spoke about, you know, all their main value and their main priority is being financially free and not working.
Correct.
And they will give up absolutely everything along the journey to get there. Now, someone else's priority might not be being financially free by age 50. So they don't give up other things on the journey. It's like me, I'm happy to work till I'm in the grave to a degree because I don't see life without work. So that means for me, my goals will look very different to someone that wants to retire at age 65.
So I was going to cut in. One of the other things that's really, this is driving a conversation around succession planning as well. Because if you're a business owner and you go and do the spreadsheet that Nick's just talked about, you're writing down all your assets and your liabilities, what value are you putting on your business? And you can make up a number or you can talk to your accountant or your business advisor or whoever you're going to go to, but it's all good and well to say your business is worth a certain number. But it's going to become part of your retirement strategy as to how that business plays into the life you will have in retirement or after you've retired. Now, if you haven't built your business properly and it's not saleable, scalable, and you can't sell it to someone and you're stuck with something you've worked really hard for and that's not going to then contribute to your retirement funds, that is something that you need to then take into consideration. Or if you're looking at going, well, geez, I do need to sell this business one day because I do want to put it on my spreadsheet where I'm working out my net wealth. And it all of a sudden, again, this tool of working out your net wealth means you're going to work not just on sticking some money into super and maybe having the investment property, but also making sure your business is a growing asset, not something that's taking away from your life. So couldn't recommend this higher. And any client that we've, even separate to doing a personal net wealth tracker, you know, Nick, you've talked about getting individuals and husbands and wives and people to do budgets. There is not a single person that's worked with us or Innovate that have gone away and done a budget and come back and gone, oh yeah, it didn't really do anything for me. They always come back and go, wow, like that was, like, I'm so glad I did that because I now understand so much more about where my money's going or how I'm going to help save for my retirement or how I can put money aside for school fees. No matter what it is, you discover something in that budgeting process, just like you discover something in the net wealth tracker. So bit of homework for those out there. Sorry, Marty.
And I've seen many a business owner, you know, generating $8, $10 million that are nearly personally bankrupt. Highly leveraged, not managing their funding outside of the business properly and get themselves into real situations. So again, what you said, Jace, their, you know, confidence in your strategy, and don't just let money burn out of your business. You know, just actually make sure it's working for you so it works for you. It's so important, and I've seen that time and time again with people.
Yeah. And then, yeah, if you're working a wage job, what's your super doing? Because there's small changes you can do. You're going to have to put your superannuation on your net wealth tracker. And if year on year it hasn't really moved much, well, you should be having a conversation with someone. So this is a lot of self-driven, self-assessment you can do. You know, we're not here to sell you anything. You can run your net wealth tracker. You can run your budget. But all of a sudden, these are the tools that are going to help you to start asking the right questions and then looking for the right advisors to help you. And it doesn't have to be Jace, Nick, or Marty. But of course, you know, we've developed this content and put the numbers game out there so that we can help more people to have smarter investment decisions and ultimately lead to better lives. So in wrapping up then, sounds like a good place to end it. Nick, absolutely loved this episode. I'm going to go refine my budget spreadsheet and sit case down and figure out what's going on.
Your net wealth.
Net wealth needs to be updated too. Oh, spreadsheets. Yeah, I'm accountants, we bloody love a spreadsheet. You know, Greg and I talk about this bloody spreadsheet all the time. Great episode. Thank you for joining us. As a reminder, always like, subscribe, follow, jump on YouTube and comment on how glorious Nick is. And until next time.
If you ain't aiming for something, you got nothing. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.